guess what, guys? I'm not a doctor. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor. That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery. I love you guys, and be careful and consult your doctor. Hey guys, welcome back. I am so excited because today I have a plastic surgeon for you and she's a lot of fun. So she has been doing this for almost 14 years. So we're going to talk to the specialist, the expert. She's from Houston. She's so fun. And her name is Dr. Ashley Steinberg. And welcome, Ashley.
Plastic surgery. I watched a lot of, Nip Tuck and saw that that was really cool. But I thought I was going to be just such a badass. And like everybody, I was a nerd. I was bullied. I was a nerd when I was younger. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be cool. And then the immediate gratification aspect of it, but then, you know, going along and growing up and going further in life, it's super hard. It's super long journey. And the immediate gratification aspect is really just for me because it takes the patients forever to see a result. Like today I did so much lipo and it's going to take her 6 months before she sees a final result. And actually for the next 2 weeks, she's probably going to hate me because she's going to weigh like 10 pounds more because she's going to be super swollen. And
yep.
I did general surgery for 5 years. I trained in general surgery and became board certified in general surgery. And then I did 3 years of training in plastic surgery and I've been in practice for 6 years. So I've actually been operating for 14 years. Like I graduated medical school in 2011. So
that's exciting. Congratulations.
I don't feel that old, but like,
well, you're not, but it is wild.
Yeah. It's a long time when I go through like, oh yeah, I've had my MD and I've been a physician, like operating on people for 14 years. That doesn't, like, I keep having to redo the math in my head because I'm like, that doesn't make sense. I'm still a kid.
Yeah.
I laugh at fart jokes. Like I laugh at fart jokes and I make them all the time and I say, that's what she said. And like, I'm still a child. So.
Hey, but that's the best part. I think I would want my surgeon, my plastic surgeon, to be someone I can talk to, relate to, have fun with. Like, I don't want that stone cold, like, person that just comes in right when I have to have surgery, talks to me for like 5 minutes and then leaves. Like, I had a surgeon like that. It wasn't for plastics, but like, I did have a spiral, a spiral break in my left leg from knee down. So when I had, at first I had people tell me they can't touch me. They're too afraid. And then when I finally found someone, yes, he was nice, but he was literally like, he was in that room for 5 minutes, signed my leg, and then told me that I'm in great hands and then left. I mean, Dr. Mirza was amazing, but that's it. Like,
everybody knows my life story. They like, my patients want to know who I'm dating. They want to know how my dog is. They are following my mom on social media and saw that she was just on a trip. Like, yeah, it was a lot of time spent.
So I believe it. So you get to have like really good care with your patients.
Yeah, I'd like to think it's a different experience. This is not like a come in, have surgery, go and then like brush off. Like I remember we were actually reminiscing today about the first patient I ever did. Like I could pick her out of a lineup easily. Like I remember my patients. I know them. I spend a lot of time with them. And like, this is a really personal experience. It's expensive. It's, you know what I mean? Like this is a big deal and I want to make it an experience. So I'm all about experiences. That's what I tell people. Like you can pay money for things or you can do it for experiences. This that you're getting with me, you're getting an experience and you're getting a thing. And I want you to think back on it 10 or 20 years from now and be like, every part of it was awesome and I would do it again and you should do it. And it was such a good experience. So like, this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's your body.
Yeah.
You're literally, guys, think about this. You're literally going under like anesthesia. You're going to be out for hours depending on what kind of surgery you pick. So do you want to know that person that's actually cutting you up and doing the lipo and changing things? Like I know I would. That would be very nerve-wracking to not know my person and be connected to them. So I'm really happy that you do experiences because I actually believe in the same boat. I told my mom that years ago where I'm like, I don't want
you to buy me things. I just want to go do stuff with you. Mm-hmm. I want to have experiences. And then we ended up going to see Salt and Pepper at in Portland. And I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
This
and is that's my something, jam. Yeah, that's something you get to think about forever. And yeah. just like you hold that, it's a core memory. And you know, when you look in the mirror and you love how you look and you think it's it's such a, like Joey or Phoebe said, there are no selfless acts. They're all selfish. Is that you think about me 15 years from now when you're like, oh my God, I look so good. I'm so glad I did this. You're like, you think about me, you think about what I did for you and all of the experiences and mm-hmm. everything.
Dr. Sunburn, did you?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Lily wants you about your patient.
What is
it? Should come check on her and see if she's draining a lot.
Can I, Can I go see my patient really quick?
Yep. We'll pause.
Okay. Sorry.
Yep. No, you're good.
If you are looking to level up your weight loss journey like I am, let's talk about ProCare's new metabolic G3A, it's a GLP-1 companion, plus your blood sugar support. This game-changing supplement is designed to support your metabolic health and your blood sugar levels, making it a perfect companion for those on a GLP-1 medication, which your girl is. Check out the metabolic G3A at ProCareNow.com and use code OSLP for 15% off your order.
Craving a sweet treat that fits your goals? Try Built Bar. With their protein packed bar in a variety of delicious flavors, you can satisfy your cravings while staying on track. I'm all about Team Puff. Those fluffy, melt in your mouth puffs are a game changer. Head over to built.com and use code OSLP at checkout and get 10% off your whole order. Treat yourself to something tasty and guilt-free with Built Bar.
I have a delicious and nutritious way to boost your protein intake. Try American Dream Nut Butter, packed with high quality protein and healthy fats. It's the perfect snack to fuel your weight loss journey. Whether you're adding it to your favorite meal or enjoying it straight out of the jar, like your girl does, American Dream Nut Butter is a tasty way to stay on track. Visit AmericanDreamNutButter.com and use code OSLP and get 10% off your order. Treat yourself to a healthier snack today.
I'm taking my wellness to the next level with First Form because they have premium supplements to support all your health and fitness goals. Whether you're building lean muscle, boosting recovery, or improving overall health, they got you covered. Try their Level 1 Sustain Release Protein or their Formula 1 for Quick Recovery. Check out their full lineup at firstform.com/melunfiltered and take your wellness journey further today.
Sorry. Oh, you're good. Is your patient okay?
I'm a real doctor, see? Yeah, no, everything's fine.
Good. I appreciate that. I was like, oh shit. If she's just, hurt.
No. She's just about to leave. So that like, she's about to be done and be discharged. So.
Oh, I would want to see you too. Just to be like, all right, we're peacing out. I'll see you in a little bit. Well, good. So of course I'm going to go backwards just a little bit. So because we're bariatric patients, that's my main audience. And so I wanted to make sure that they understood like what kind of guidelines do they need to have prior to going to plastic surgery?
Oh, there's so many. First of all, the thing that I say to everybody, the closer you are to your ideal body weight, the better result you're going to have. That's just like number one is like, you don't want to do this because you think it's going to get you somewhere. You want to get to that place and then uncover all the work that you did. So you need to put in the work beforehand, lose the weight, and then you need to be stable at that weight for 3 months because we don't want you like constantly losing. And I say stable, like a 10 to 15 pounds, like up or down, you know?
Okay.
But 3 to 6 months is best because if you lose weight, then you're going to have extra skin and you're going to need more surgery. And if you gain weight, then what did you do it for? You know, it's just like, this is not weight loss surgery. You have had weight loss surgery. Like that is done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do not do weight loss surgery. I contour your body after weight loss. So don't ask me what pant size you're going to be. Don't ask me, you know what I mean? Don't ask me how much, whatever weight, it doesn't matter.
No,
because that's not what it's about. It's about contouring and unveiling like the work that you did. And like everything that's underneath, that's what I do.
I love that you say unveiling, because it's so true. Some of us have no idea what our body type actually is because of all the hanging skin.
Oh, I get so excited because I see people and I can like see it. It's like my x-ray vision of like somebody will walk in and I'll be like, oh my God, no, you have such a good figure. Like your shape is so good. I can't wait to do the surgery. Like I just, someone that I'm doing actually here next month just popped into my head because I was like, oh my, yeah. Like sometimes I'll annoy my coordinator because I'll be like, I want to do that surgery. Give her all the discounts just because I need to do that surgery because I know that she's going to look so good after I'm done with her. Like she's such a good start, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, I see it. I have that ability. So it really is just me like kind of, you know, chipping away at it. It's already there.
Yep.
I just have to show you. So luckily I can see that. That's part of my job is that I can see it already exists.
Well, and that's part of the best part is literally having someone tell you, hey, you have a shape in there. Because like I told you during our live expert call that I used to be like a box. Like I had no idea. I was 308 pounds. I was just like legit no hips. I was just basically I was wide and then I was like thinner on the like on that side. So it's kind of funny where I'm like, oh, I'm really wide, but then it's thin. So but there was no hips back then. Now you can see my hips. I had no idea I even had that hourglass look until I literally was down 129 pounds. And then I had to get used to having hips. It's weird. I hit things now. Like, I don't know. Like, especially in the beginning, I had no idea what kind of like zone you're, like, I don't know how to word it. It's like where your body thinks that you're at. Like, it thinks you're at a certain size. And so your brain thinks you're that size. And then you're not. So,
That is like such a thing. Like, I lost a bunch of weight on tirzepatide and semaglutide over a long period of time. And up until last year, I went to a gala and I bought a size 10 dress and my best friend was like, that's not going to fit you. And yeah. I was like, yeah, it is. I was like, I was a size 12. Now I'm a size 10. And she's like, okay. And I never tried it on. And I put it on the day of the gala and I was like, shit.
It's too big, right?
It was so big.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have nothing. Like I have nothing to wear. And I do this all the time. Like even with my scrubs, like right now I have these scrubs in a size small and a size medium because it depends how I feel that day. Like, am I a small or am I a medium, you know?
That, yeah, it goes.
She wants in, huh?
Yeah. Now it's my turn. Hold on.
Yeah. She wants in. It's okay. I'll take a snack. It's snack break.
Snack break.
I love a snack break.
Everybody get your water, vitamins, snack right now.
Snack break.
Nova. The landscaper's here. She hates the landscaper. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, I actually did a post yesterday where I was looking in the mirror. I woke up feeling like I gained everything back. I felt bloated. I felt icky. And I literally had to put my normal clothes on and just look in the mirror. And I like had to turn around and do all the things because my brain was like, I literally was freaking out. I was like, oh my God. I feel like I gained it all. Like, do I have a tire around my stomach? Like, it was just, it's such a weird feeling.
Like phantom limb, you know?
Yeah.
How they describe phantom limb. Yeah. Your brain is just so used to being one way that it's hard to wrap yourself around or even believe that you aren't. Like, that's the thing. I told you I was a big nerd in high school. I got bullied. And when I see people like, and they're like, oh my God, I follow you on Instagram or whatever. And I'm like,
why? That's how I live.
And like, I'm a nerd. You know what I mean? It's really hard to wrap your head around that difference when you're so used to being a certain way or whatever. It's hard to believe yourself that things have changed and they're going to stay that way. That's the other thing is you're like waiting for the shoe to drop. Like I'll just keep those clothes, you know, just in case.
Oh, I keep clothes. Like there's always a little bit of clothes that are bigger for me just in case. And like, I shouldn't even have that. There shouldn't be a just in case, but it's my brain being like, no, but safety, just in case you never know, like you gotta be prepared. And I want people to understand too, like, I didn't get surgery until I was 27. So, but I've always been a big kid since I popped out of my mom. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Big girl. So, like, that's 27 years of my brain thinking we're big, we're fat, no one likes us, no one wants to hear me. Like, I grew up in that era where it's like for kids where, you know, they should only be seen, not heard, only speak when you're spoken to. My mom used to do these weird things where she would like tap my stomach and tell me to suck it in and smile. And that was a big thing. Like, I can say thank you, Mom, for that little trauma, because now I can pull in my core like nobody's fucking business. Like, when I do a plank, that core is in. And I think of my mom sometimes, because that's really what she did to me and my brother all the time. And it was wild to think that she would just tap us and then we would instantly suck it in and just be smiling. Like, it was wild. So when you have your patients and you get to hear these stories, are you telling them, hey, maybe you need to do therapy? Like, do you tell them they should get into therapy prior or after? Like, what do you do about mental health? Because that's a big deal I hear with plastics.
And it's I'm a huge advocate, and I told my own story at meetings before that I've had plastic surgery myself, and went into a depression afterwards, and I know how it goes. Like, I know that after you get lipo, you swell and you don't look good for a while. I know that there are things that can happen as far as contour deformities or like uneven areas is pretty common. I had my nose done. I know that it swells for a year. Like, it takes a year for you to see the swelling after it goes down. But still, I was miserable after all of those things. And this is someone who, it is ingrained in my brain. I am the surgeon who tells you that this is going to happen. Yet it didn't matter that I knew that. And I still got depressed and felt some kind of way. So I've always, you know, been a big advocate for mental health, and I'm so glad that people are speaking up about it more now. But I mean, first of all, I think everybody should have a therapist anyway, but yeah, going into something like this, it's something that if you don't, it'd be a good idea to have. And ultimately in my practice, I would love to have one, on staff. But I think for now, what we are going to do is, I think I'm going to team up with a couple of therapists and offer maybe discounted sessions or something like that for pre and post surgery, because I do believe that you don't realize how much it's going to change. You could be the most happy, most chipper person ever, but when you realize that you can't work out or you can't clean your house or you can't pick up your kids or you can't just like do your everyday stuff and be on the same schedule, it is depressing. It does something to you. And I've had so many patients who they're like, no, I'll be fine. And then afterwards be like, you're right.
Yep.
I know. Like, you know how I know? Cause it happened to me.
Yeah.
Like, I've done most of the stuff that I do on somebody else. I've done. Like, I've had lipo, I've had a rhinoplasty, I've had peels, I've had injections. Like, I know. So I can tell you from experience, this is going to fuck your brain up.
Yeah. And I love that you've gone through all that, because mm-hmm. I know there's surgeons out there that I've met that haven't. So they have no idea. They just, this is just their job. So you going through it just makes it 10 times better. And I would trust you. So what kind of things should people be looking out for when they don't know that they're actually depressed, but they are, you know, that fine line that kind of lingers?
Just, I think the biggest thing is like, all the fun has kind of gone out of things, or like you can't get pleasure from things that normally give you pleasure. Like, you don't, like for me, I love to eat, I love to snack. So if I'm like, I don't feel like eating, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when it is time to go to the gym 4 weeks after, 6 weeks after surgery, and you're like, I don't want to go, I'll just skip it again. Or things that are in your normal routine that you can do, and that you don't do, or just like, just the negative self-thought and self-talk. And the other thing, you know, about me and my practice is I make myself super available. So you can actually text me, and my patients know this, and they take full advantage any time of day or night. Like, I get texts Saturday at 9 p.m., you know, like anytime. And I answer them right when I see them, you know, if they know that they can call me if it's an emergency. There's a direct line to me. But you, any text that comes into my office goes directly to my phone. And that's part of it is like, I need you to tell me how you're feeling, because sometimes I can give you some sort of peace of mind. Like if you're going through an issue post-op where you're having a little complication or a little something and you feel like you don't want to bother me, and but mm-hmm. you're not sure how the process is going to go, and you're a little sad because you're going through this small complication, like, just ask me. Let me give you peace of mind and say, I've had this patient before. I've had this patient 5 times before, and here's what happened. It took 6 weeks. Everything was fine, and now they say this. Or, you know what I mean? Like, stop into my office. Take an extra – like, I tell my patients, there's not, like, a set number of visits you get. If you need to see me because it's going to make you feel better mentally to hear me or say something or see me look at something,
fine.
I don't care. Like, if there's time in my schedule, I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, you're like, let's just make sure you're comfortable.
It makes me feel better. Like, honestly, I don't – I sleep at night knowing that you sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like I need that. I just, when patients are like, oh, I didn't want to bother you. And I'm like, now it's bothering me that you didn't bother me. Like now I have anxiety that you had anxiety about this and I could have fixed it. You know? Well,
and I know from experience that like I had so many questions for my bariatric surgeon. Did I call? No.
I'm on my own weight loss journey, and eventually I'm going to be going down the plastic surgery side. So join me with Pop Recovery Community. They are the best place to get your personalized support, expert advice, and there's a group of like-minded individuals that are just like you. Pop Recovery is your go-to for sustainable wellness. Whether you are focusing on nutrition, fitness, or mental wellness, Pop Recovery has all the tools that you need. So go over to poprecoverysystems.com and use code OSLPTA and check out to get $5 off your subscription. Start thriving with me and Pop Recovery Community today. I have a great protein company for you that is both delicious and effective. That is Devotion Nutrition. With their amazing proteins, you will find mouthwatering flavors and high quality ingredients that support your goals. You can bake with this, you can make your post-workout shake, and prepare a protein pack snack. Devotion really does have you covered. So go over to devotion.com and use code OSLP5 at checkout to get 5% off your order. Fuel your body with the best Devotion Nutrition ingredients today. Since I started my weight loss journey, I have been more positive and more intent with what I'm doing with my life. And that includes what I'm wearing. I found this new company called Find the Good Brand. Their collection of motivational apparel and accessory is designed to help you stay focused on the positive while making a bold statement. From inspiring shirts to empowering hats, you got it covered. Visit findthegoodbrand.com and use code MELUNFILTER at checkout to get 10% off your order. Start spreading those good vibes today with Find the Good Brand.
I was so fucking nervous. And I thought that like, I just thought that maybe I was just, like you said, bugging them. Or like, am I just like being stupid about this? Like I, you know, I was getting the noise in my throat, which now I know means you're full. But I didn't understand the gurgles back then. And I just was like, I guess it's just what happens now. Like it's weird, right? It's a very random thing that happens.
See, I wouldn't know. Like, there are definitely, and I arm my patients with so much information. Verbally, they get a printout, and they also have an app where everything, the same paperwork is in the app.
Oh, cool.
Like, and there's like a lot of FAQs. Like, so I'm like, refer to that. You know, you hear a funny sound after you have a breast aug, you feel this, like it's all in there. So one or two of those questions is not going to bother me if you're like asking me those questions. The only time I've ever gotten bothered, if it's like everything I've already told you that's written down, that's in there, and you're asking me over and over and over again. And I'm like, you just don't care. You're not listening to me. Yeah. And that's not fair.
No.
So, but I've never, like, I tell, like, it is never a bother. And it is, just like, come in. I don't care. Let's hang out. Whatever. If it makes you feel good, it makes me feel good.
You hear that, guys? Go ask your questions. Don't be like me where I'm like, I don't know.
Like, but also feel like you can. Feel like you're going to a person where you can ask your questions. Yes. That's another thing is like, some people are not going to be like that. And I always tell people like, you have, I mean, 95% of the patients I see are women. Women right. have women's intuition. And everybody has a gut feeling, and like you need to get that feeling that the things that you need to be provided to you, whether it's just like availability, being able to ask questions and not feel stupid about it or whatever, or if it's just maybe you don't like somebody who talks as much as I do, and maybe you need somebody who's going to leave you alone. You have to feel that connection and that like gut feeling when you walk into the room, especially in plastic surgery, where it's like you get the choice to be here. And we are going to be like connected forever, pretty much. And if you ever need anything, you have to come back. So you want to make sure that you feel the most comfortable with that person, that they're going to be able to provide you with the specific things that, that you need.
Yeah. And I agree. Remember, guys, you can interview your plastic surgeons. You don't have to pick the first one you find. Please interview them. Please talk to them. Get familiar with them, because it is just like having bariatric surgery. You're going to see them. Like, for at least a few, four to 5 years, I would imagine. I don't know what it's like for plastics. How long do they typically see you for?
I would see my patients forever. Literally, yeah. I would love to see, you know, I just saw someone 5 years out. Like, I want to see people, I want to see the longevity of what I do. I want to see how, and I learn from that. And, you know, it also, you like people learn from that and things change. And so, yes, it is. It's kind of a forever relationship.
I love that. I love that. And I have some questions of things that I've heard through the community. So what are your rules about nicotine? What are your rules with sodium, sugar, these kind of things that can affect your body? Is there like no-goes or goes?
So nicotine is gross. I mean, sorry, everybody, but it's really gross and really bad for you. I would strongly prefer if you don't smoke or ingest any sort of nicotine or tobacco for 4 weeks prior to surgery. I do test you. Does that mean I'm not going to do surgery? No, there are certain surgeries I will not do if you test positive. I will not put an implant in and do a lift at the same time if you test positive. Why? Because of those small blood vessels that go to the nipples and that go to all the incisions that are trying to heal are getting clotted up with from the nicotine, from all of the stuff that's in cigarettes and everything. And you could lose a nipple and you can have wound healing issues. And I'm not like, I'm that, that's the highest risk surgery that I do with smoking. Facelifts are also very high risk. I don't do facelifts, but I know most people would not do a facelift on a smoker.
Yeah.
Now, if you do smoke and you are having another surgery and you test positive, which most of my patients don't, like I test them. I'm like, I'm going to test you. And you're going to sign a paper if it comes back positive that says any issue you have is your fault. And any additional visit that you have to have for an issue that could be attributed to smoking that's not, that's outside of our regular visit is going to cost you $250 a visit.
Good.
And in like,
yeah. Take it seriously.
That's a decision you make. So in the last few years, nobody has come up positive, even the smokers. So
that's amazing. That's
and
incredible.
It's hard, but I will say it's hard. It's like, tell me to give up dessert. Like I'm good luck, you know, like, so I get it. I don't think that, oh, this is easy. Just stop. Like I totally get that it's an addiction and you have to figure out the way that it's going to work for you. But
yeah,
it's possible. Most of my patients who quit forever. So,
which is keep going, people,
right? Healthy.
Once you stop, don't stop.
Yeah. So,
don't
stop. And then the next thing you said was sodium. And like we talked about the other day, like, what's the sodium in this bad boy? You're talking to someone who's sitting here. Actually, there's not that much. That's probably why it's not as good. There's only 100 milligrams of sodium, 4%. Like, that's why it doesn't taste that good.
Yeah.
Salt is good. I love salt. But I also don't have issues with bloating. I don't have issues with fluid retention, and I don't have issues with blood pressure. If I did, then I would restrict it, but I don't. So if you don't, then restrict it. If after surgery, liposuction, you are going to swell. If you eat a salty meal and you notice you swell more, restrict yourself a little bit. If you eat a salty meal after liposuction, and it's fine, then don't. Salt makes your food taste good. Yes, I don't know. Like don't, if it's going to hurt you, then don't do it. But if it's fine, that's fine. And then same with sugar. I mean, sugar is like, if it affects you, it affects you. I don't really care. You need to just maintain and eat healthy. My thing is protein. Like the thing I want you to have is protein. So weight loss patients need to have 100 milligrams of protein per day leading up to surgery. Okay. Sounds like a lot, but I mean, a can of tuna has like 42 grams of protein or something. Yeah. And a protein shake is 30. I make my Ninja Creamies and you could eat a whole pint of like a protein Ninja Creamy and get like 45 grams of protein and get dessert. You know, like a piece of meat has a ton of, like chicken has a ton of protein. Like you're getting it. Cottage cheese, you're eating a half cup is giving you 14 or 15 grams. Fairlife milk has extra protein in it. It's like 13 grams per serving. And so you're getting it in all these little places. But if you're the kind of eater, especially bariatric patients who like pick and don't eat a lot and don't eat big meals and just don't eat as much in general because mentally and physically you just can't, that's when you have to like put it in your brain, hey, I need to do this. So I actually give my patients devotion packets, samples, the sample packs of the angel food cake and the brownie batter so that they can, that's 60 right there. Like there's a couple for you. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, give them ideas on, you know, which protein bars I like, which protein shakes I like, and, you know, what other ways to get protein in their diet. Cause that's really going to be the most important as far as wound healing goes.
I was like, can you explain to them why it's so important?
It's wound healing. It's just, there are different aspects of why it's important to a molecular level, but the most important thing is your protein intake is directly your nutrition, your ultimate nutrition, which is going to be your protein nutrition, is going to directly correlate with your wound healing. And when people say they're malnutrition, is usually protein malnutrition.
Yeah.
And they have things, I mean, kidney issues. And so you can't get, so you want to, when you get lipo, you get all this fluid and you need the fluid to get out of your body. So you need to pee it out or it needs to come out the incisions or you need to absorb it. The only way you're going to do that is if you have the correct protein levels. If you don't, you're going to stay swollen just because protein, this is just what it does.
Have you had any issues with people that are vegan?
No, I mean, I've talked to people about it and I'm like, it's not hard. Like beans and just, there's so much plant protein. Like
there is now. There's a lot.
Especially now.
Yeah. I'll say like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, it was a lot different. Like I know from listening to Travis Barker, when he got into that airplane accident, he was a vegan at that time. And he noticed his healing was not, one, it wasn't on track whatsoever. And two, like it was, he said it was devastating. So when he finally switched, and he didn't want to, but he switched to animal protein, the healing was quicker. It was, he said that he felt good. The energy was back. And he learned by his own experience that like complete proteins is where it's at. Like it is very hard for your body to actually heal in the time frame that it should if you don't have complete proteins. And a lot of veggies don't have a complete protein. Beans don't have a complete protein. It's like, I believe what it's that there's 12 amino acids. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not going to because I don't remember.
I know there's you're essential. There's the essential ones, and non-essentials. Yeah. There's 9 essentials and there's 3 non-essentials. And it makes up the 12 of the amino acids, which make up 1 complete protein. I remember this now. So there you go, guys. You need, I've always been a big proponent of animal protein. I'm a meat eater, man. So that's kind of my jam. And I've noticed the difference because my ex-husband also had a whole vegetarian, time frame, like a whole season of it. And I could totally tell versus like when he would get hurt and how long it would take, and he would be way more complainy, way more like having that, you know, the man cold situation was happening a lot. And I noticed once he started doing protein again, he even wasn't getting as sick. It was kind of interesting, the difference of just when you put food in your body, of what you put into your body. Like, we are a big chemistry set, basically. We're bag of chemicals.
I agree with you as I sit here and I stare at my smart food and my pretzel goldfish thinking, man, these pretzel goldfish really suck. I wish I had regular goldfish. They are really so much better. I'm not thinking I need protein. I'm like, I just wish I had plain goldfish. And I, mind you, had a piece of cake right before this. So that's my meal for the day. I've had a half a protein bar, a piece of cake, and half of this.
You know, I love that you are honest and real about what your dietary habits are as well.
So. I have the worst. I'm literally going to do, I was like, I'm going to do a what I eat in a day as a 39-year-old plastic surgeon with questionable eating habits and like a snack obsession. And you would see that my car is full of, I have protein in my car. I have like meat sticks.
Oh, yeah.
That are like, that don't have to be refrigerated or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just so if I'm like, sometimes I'll get in my car and I'm like ravenous because I haven't eaten after surgery and I have like a jerky or beef stick or something. And so I'm like, I need protein. I need something.
Yeah. And it's great to travel with, guys. Definitely do what she's doing. I do the same thing because you just don't know like what your day is going to look like sometimes, especially for mm-hmm. you. Like, you're in and out of fucking procedures and ORs and then rooms and talking to people, like your day can just get away from you really fast. So I'm really happy that you are a proponent of keeping snacks on you, because we tell all of our audience, and I tell my own self, like, we have to bring those. Like, I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Charlotte. I will be at the Beautiful Mind event, and I'm already was like, okay, I am going to check a bag because I'm going to be gone for actually a full week. I'm not just going to be in North Carolina. For those that want to know, I'm going to be doing the 5K for the Two Bears 5K in Tampa, which are my comedian guys, Bert and Tom. So I'm like, I'm going to bring an actual suitcase, which now means I can put my protein pre-made drinks in there.
Oh, I do that too. When I check a bag, I bring protein shakes in my bag.
Yeah. Yep. I learned this from Sarah 2 years ago. I was like, you can do that? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, I thought they'd take them away from you. She goes, no, that's your carry-on. So, like, if I had,
I pack a snack bag, like a full Ziploc, and I'm like, okay, so I need some protein bars. I need something salty. I need something sweet. I need something healthy. I need something not. And I have, that's like part of, I'm still such a nerd. I literally have a packing checklist that I got off of Amazon. Yeah. That's like, it has check boxes, and that's how I pack a bag anytime I go somewhere. And
I love it.
Is on there, and I'm like, okay.
Because it's true. You gotta have a snack bag
and your water bottle. I always bring not a Stanley. I bring one that doesn't spill because Stanleys suck because they spill.
As much as they say they don't spill,
they absolutely do. I bring I bring one of the ones with like a twist top, and I bring it whenever I go somewhere, just because I'm like, now I can't have an excuse not to have water. And I bring my packets of. This is, I don't know. I think this is like watermelon passion.
Cucumber? Oh, because the devotion one I love is the Hydroflex. That's a cucumber watermelon, which is delicious.
I
love
haven't tried that one. Hot.
Oh, then you got to try the cucumber melon.
She sent me a bunch of the hydration ones because I give them to patients. I'll have to try it. I haven't tried that. I've drank from them is the fruit punch.
The fruit punch is one of my jams too. My kid actually loves the fruit punch one.
Yeah, but I'm like, I have the little, you know, dollar store Sunkist and Crush flavor ones. This is watermelon. Oh, pineapple. This one is like pineapple watermelon. Oh. I mix a bunch together. I mean,
why not?
I just make up flavors. I don't know.
I love that you're making your own flavors because that's a big deal in our community. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate right now. Go take a water break. Go get your drink.
There's it's a important. Whole like. TikTok community, right? Like,
yep.
Tanya,
mm-hmm.
like I, before I met her and like knew her professionally, was like, oh, you're the reason why I started buying green apple Jolly Rancher drink mix. Cause I thought that that was so weird. And then you were talking about how good it was. And I was like, oh, I gotta try that. And now I fucking love
it.
I love green apples. My favorite flavor.
Oh, I love me some green apple. I haven't had that in a long time.
It's so good, and it's good. I don't like it too sweet. So one full packet I'll do in 40 ounces, and that's even a little sweet for me. But I like the green apple one is like perfect. Like one packet for like 50 ounces. It just gives you that like whisper of green apple. It's really good.
Hell yeah. And guys, go to Devotion. I have a code OSLP5. And get
code too. It's Steinberg.
There you go. Use whatever one you use. Just use it because we want you guys to get your discount.
Yeah, why not get a discount?
Yeah, and you're gonna get the protein and you're gonna get the water stuff. So she's got you covered, especially for a bariatric patient. She's got you. Like you need protein and water, and that's what you count for the first 2 years. Well, their
protein is really good also to cook with. So like a lot, I've been doing, and I texted Dana, who makes Devotion, and every time I was making a Ninja Creamy, I would take a picture of it and be like, hey, this is the one I made today with this. But like also you baking with it and just having like a muffin or something that you can put in the freezer and just grab and go to have her snack, defrost during the day. It's a good protein. It works well to bake with.
That's one of my favorite things because you can't bake with all of your proteins, the protein powders. And this was a way that I actually was able to make pumpkin bread with the cinnamon one, protein powder. Oh my God. Guys, it was so good. It was so good that my nieces and my brother had no idea what they were eating and they loved it. So, and then of course, after they eat it, I'm like, guess what? You guys just got all protein.
No, see, I know. That's great. Literally, this is same with my ice cream. I'm like, this is really good. Like I did an ube one the other day, like purple sweet potato, like the purple, like the kind of the thing that you get if you boba bubble tea or whatever, the purple taro ube. It's just like this flavor. I don't know how to describe it. It's good, but it's also purple, so obviously I had to make it, and it's like this beautiful deep purple color, but I made it protein. And nice. I made it, it's like vanilla protein with that and cottage cheese actually, and I had someone taste it. I was like, isn't this good? And they're like, yeah, it's actually really good. And I was like, it's cottage cheese and protein. Ha.
That is wild to me.
Yeah.
You're drinking cottage cheese, but brilliant.
It's so good. I'm going to send you a picture of how I took a portrait of the Ninja Creamy, like, because it was so pretty and purple. I literally portrait mode it because I was like, oh,
hell yeah. Yeah, send that to me. Obviously, one of my favorite colors is purple. I love me royal purple since I was a little girl. Which was funny because once I had surgery, you know, like your style kind of changes, your confidence definitely changes. And then my favorite color changed to yellow.
So I'm wearing both of your favorite colors.
I know. And your tips of your hair have purple. Yep. I love it.
And actually, yeah, the like tip of the reason why I'm wearing a yellow, because this is my scrubs and the scrubs have a little yellow like tie on them. So I like to match my Lululemon jacket to whatever the tie is on my scrubs. So I'm doing purple and like yellow. Yeah.
I love that. That's hilarious. So with our patients, I know our skin changes because, you know, a lot of us had yo-yo dieting. So we've been big, small. And now after like having surgery, now we're just small. So can you kind of go through the science of like what's going on with our skin and why it is harder for a bariatric patient? For surgeons.
Yeah. So I always liken this and I always explain it the same way to a balloon. When you first get a balloon out of a package and you blow it up with air, well, when you first grab it, it's like that thick rubbery material. And then you blow it up with air as much as you can. And like, then you let the air out and it's like this crinkly thin balloon afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what happens to your skin because the strength layer of the skin is the dermis. And what happens when you stretch it out is you weaken that dermis, and that's the layer. So the color layer, the melanotic layer, whether you're white or black or brown or whatever, that's the epidermis. The next layer is all white in everybody, and it's the dermis, and that's that strength layer, and that's the layer that gets affected by the weight gain and weight loss, and that's usually what you lose. And that's something like, so when you see a stretch mark, it's just a lack of dermis. So you still have that colored skin epidermal layer, but you're lacking that strength layer, that dermis. So that skin is super, super thin. So putting those you know, papery skin back together where you don't have the strength layer as much, it's really hard for wound healing to happen. And that's why weight loss patients are at a lot higher risk for wound healing issues.
Got it. That makes more sense now. Because like I can, in my brain, I just envision like, cause I've had a baby. So like that bottom part of your belly now is just like that little crinkle. It literally reminded me of the balloon when you were talking about it. And I was like, yeah, I have that. That's nice. Oh my goodness. I think you might be the one I come to for when I need to get my stuff done.
I hope so.
Cause that would be fun. And like, I've seen that some of the people that you've worked on and the whole sculpturing and contouring that you do. I'm like, holy shit. Like, it's just really pretty. So just
thank you.
Good job. Lady.
Thank you. I really like my job. So I really take it seriously and I try and learn and continue to get better. And I mean, I really want people to be like, you know, I don't need to be on TV. I don't need that, but I really want people in my plastic surgery community and then bariatric community and then other plastic surgeons be like, oh my God, have you seen that? She's like really good at that because I really want to master my craft. And I know that I'll never master it and I'll never be perfect, but I'm going to spend the rest of the time I have being a plastic surgeon striving for it and doing whatever I can to like get as close to it as I can and just know that it's never going to be exactly perfect because then I can just keep getting better and like learning more and just do what I do and do it to the best of my ability at that time in my career, well, I guess.
And that's what we want. We want someone that's passionate about it. We don't want us to be just a cash cow because these are expensive and we want to actually have someone that's passionate about contouring my body and making sure I feel comfortable and making sure I look good because we are a walking billboard. That's how I see it when you get surgery done. So it's like, why would you want, you know, this to not look good? Because word of mouth is very powerful. So if you literally mess up, like say if I got botched, it's like, I'm going to say something. Like I'm not going to be quiet about being botched. So it's like, just be very like,
that word so much.
Do you? Let me know why. Why do you not like it?
I hate it because it's so subjective. It's like you have the surgery show, right? Called yeah. Botched. And you have these people who have these normal post-op issues or complications or things that could happen that like I've had patients with complications and but they're the exact percentage that it happens to any board certified plastic surgeon because it's going to happen.
Yep.
And that patient could call themselves botched, but I'm like, I did the same surgery on you that I did on everybody else. Turns out that what happened to you was a 3% risk and you happen to be the one of the three of out of 100 patients who it happened to because I have 97 other patients who I did the same exact surgery and they're totally fine. But now you think you're botched, but in actuality, this is just like, there are risks to surgery. That's why I spent this much time going over all of the risks with you and having you sign a informed consent and giving you a copy of that informed consent. And then, you know, they interpret that as, oh, I was botched. And like, no, like botched is, I think, it should be for people who shouldn't be doing surgery. Like I went to a surgeon who, even if they're plastic surgeons, maybe they're really shitty surgeons who don't give a shit. Maybe they're ones who are doing it only for money. Maybe they're cosmetic surgeons who aren't actually trained in plastic surgery. Maybe they're dentists. Maybe they're fucking back like alley people injecting silicone into people. Like those people can be botched. But if you're going to somebody who has a good reputation, who doesn't have these issues very often and who is like, does a good job and is within the standard of care for that surgery and is not going above and beyond the normal percentages for having something like that happen, then you're not botched.
No.
You know?
Can you explain to people what are kind of the normal, like, normal complications, I guess, that could happen and that you've seen happen.
I have a whole spiel, so I'm going to go through it because I do it with every patient. So I say every surgery has risks, every single surgery, bleeding, pain, infection, risk to every surgery. So bleeding is any sort of bruising, hematoma, whatever. You would know if you have a drain, it's something is off. Pain is expected. This is not painless. None of the pain medications I give you are going to take away your pain completely. There is going to be a level of discomfort. You asked for it. In fact, you paid me for it. Yep. So deal with the fact that you're going to have a little bit of pain. My patients do not get narcotics. I am not out here being some Percocet prescriber that makes somebody's kid a like drug user, because guess what? That happened to my brother. So, you know, I have a 7-year sober brother who helps people that had the same issue with as him. He was given Percocets for back pain and it leads to worse things. And yet I made a decision 6 years ago that I'm never going to do that to somebody. And guess what? 6 years has gone by. Haven't needed to. I've done 8 hours of surgery on people. Full mommy makeovers. No problem. So there's a level of pain in surgery. Yeah. Infection. If infections are a risk to every surgery. If you put in a foreign body, like an implant of any sort, you have an increased risk because it's a foreign body. You get antibiotics. Asymmetry. Everybody's asymmetric. You're never going to be perfect. What you're going to do is you're going to stare at yourself in the mirror and you're going to start to notice things that were probably there before. Like most people's belly buttons are not exactly in their midline. Mm-mm. But so what I do is when I draw my patients, I'm like, hey, just so you know, your belly button's a little bit off to the right. It'll still probably be a little bit off to the right after surgery. And that's going to happen. But you didn't notice that until I told you. And then you're going to stare at every little thing after surgery. And you're going to be like, oh, my right boob's bigger. Well, guess what? I put in the same size implants on both sides. It was bigger already. I didn't make it bigger. You know what I mean?
Like, and ladies, we all know one boob is bigger than the other.
It's so always, normal.
Yeah. Like the left for me is bigger than the right.
Yes.
It is what it is.
Like symmetry, asymmetry is normal. Symmetry is weird. Like when I measure somebody and it's the same, I'm like, that's not normal. It's asymmetry that's normal. I mean, like wound healing issues, like I said, with bariatric patients, small incisional openings that usually heal on their own. Nerve, like numbness, very, very common. Anywhere you cut, there's some sort of cutaneous or sensory nerve there that's going to be cut. Any risk to surrounding blood vessels. Anytime you put in an implant, there's the risk of capsular contracture, and that's scar tissue around the implant. And that's like a less than 1% risk, but that means one out of every 100 people it happens to.
Yeah.
Some studies have shown like even higher, like 5%. That's, you know, 5 out of every 100 people. So
how do you know when you have that?
You know, it's not even, and you have it sometimes. And if it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't bother you and it doesn't matter. So it's one of those things where it doesn't matter. Same with like implant rupture. It can happen. It's much less likely these days, but it can happen. And it's much less of a problem these days because of the way that the gel is made. But those are other things. Having a blood clot, DVT, or blood clot that goes from your calf to your lungs. I give injectable medication for like a blood thinner, which most people who have had bariatric surgery will have had a blood thinner afterwards. I give all of my patients blood thinners for 10 days because it is a risk of surgery.
Yep.
Guess what? When you have a breast reduction in the pedicle that I use, which has the best like aesthetic outcome, has a 3-5% risk of nipple loss. 3-5%. 3-5 out of 100 patients are going to lose their nipple. That's what the study said. That's with surgeons who are board certified, who do this all the time. It happens. You know what I mean? And I tell you that, and you're just going to throw it in the back of your mind and go, it's not going to happen to me. And then if you're that one person per year that it happens to, you're going to think I was botched. That's one of that's what drives me insane. But like, so these are all things that I talk about. Like you hear this spiel is ingrained in my coordinator's head. Like I can almost like see her just mouthing the words that I'm saying because she knows I go through this with every single patient. These are things that can happen. And also you have it written down, but it doesn't matter. Nobody listens to me anyway.
Even with it written down, most people don't even read it.
No, people are just, but I say it to your face. I write it down. You have a copy of it printed. You have a copy of it like in your computer. It doesn't matter because you just think like, oh, it's not going to happen to me. And everybody's thinking like the end goal and the end result is I'm just going to have bigger boobs and a smaller waist. But like I spent 6 hours cutting you with a knife. There's a possibility that some other shit may happen. And it's a very, very small possibility, but just listen to me because I've had some people who actually listen, who've had small minor things happen. They're like, oh yeah, you said that can happen. Guess what? Their outcomes are so good because a little thing, a little bump in the road, they took it. They were like, I knew that could happen. It happened. It got better. they're fine. Nice. Because they actually they listen. Yeah.
And they probably called you too. They're probably like, hey, yes, this is happening. You know, like they're, you know, in communication. I think that's big. People need to understand communication goes to everything. It's not just your relationships. It's not with your boss, your coworkers. It's also with your actual doctors and surgeons. Communication is huge. And what I've learned from you guys over the years is that you're only good as is the information you give. So you're going to only know what you can by us literally telling you.
So, but also you have to listen and absorb and maybe read it more than once or twice.
Yes.
And like, don't be on your phone or like, think about your implant size when I'm telling you and like, look at the implants and be like, ooh, I can't wait to try those on. No, listen to me. Listen to me. I don't speak for nothing. Like,
no, no, you don't. You're filled of so much thoughtful information. So like, I wanted to know this because this happened to one of my friends where like they got the boob done, but then like a day or two later, like now this boob is like way up here. So they had to go back in.
Well, and, like, usually if it's a day or two later, there's a hematoma in there and okay. It was bleeding most likely. And they just had to stop the bleeding. The bleeding stops on its own majority of the time. But the reason why it went up there is probably there was blood that settled and pooled at the bottom and then clotted. And so what we do is we just take that blood out, make sure there's no active bleeding, wash the implant, put it back in. And it's that has happened to me a handful of times in the last 6 years.
Okay.
It's one of those things. That's why I tell you, like, yes, these things can happen, but I know how to fix it. Like that's also, you have to be able to trust that if something happens, your surgeon's going to be able to fix them. You trust that they will and that they'll respond to it. But also the reason why you have to listen is because you have to be aware of it and aware of your body and the things that can happen to be able to say, hey, I think this is something wrong. Because if you tell me right away, I can fix it. Yeah. If you wait 2 weeks, there's a good chance I can't. And that has happened. I've had patients who show up and I'm like, when did this start? And they're like, oh, it's the day after surgery, but I thought it was normal. And I was like, well, you know, so that's why all of this communication is important.
Yeah. And then I do have some fun questions for you.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So what's the surgery people think they want, but totally shouldn't get without more research?
I thought you were going to ask me what like my favorite curse word was or something. Okay. So what is, okay. Buckle fat pads.
What's maybe? That?
So when people take the fat outside in their face out so they can look like that.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible. Because everybody, you'll be coming back in 20 years asking for filler in your face or for fat in your face, because as you age, what makes you look older is when you lose fat in your face. So what makes you actually look young is having a full face.
Oh.
And so like when you lose weight, I feel like I look like a skeleton. I start to like melt, you know, and
right.
What actually makes you look younger is the fullness right here. So that's one of those where I'm like, no, think about that before you have that surgery. There are very few people that are indicated to have that surgery.
Anything else?
What else? So I think a brachioplasty or arm lift is a great surgery, but I think that is one you really have to have a lot of information on before you go into it, because there are a few things. One, it's a big scar. So you have to be okay. Like, would I rather have this hanging skin or this big scar? Number one. Number two, that scar usually doesn't heal that well. It's pretty, it can widen, which can be fixed. But most of the people who get it, or at least who I do it on, are like, I don't care. Like, this skin drives me nuts. I'd rather have this scar. And that's, I always say, like, it's always like a risk benefit thing. Like, if you have a mole on your face, would you rather have that mole or potentially a scar that you don't like? You know what I mean? So you have to think really about everything. But the one surgery I really am just like about is removing the buccal fat pads. Yeah. And then
that's interesting. I never even heard of that.
Now I have to find one that is more mainstream. I can't think. There are surgeries that I'm like, oh, I'd never do that. But I can't like think of it right now. I don't know. Chin implants. I hate chin implants.
Ah, there we go.
I hate them so much. And I know that I'm going to get a lot of shit, but like facial implants, So I've only seen, I literally saw a patient yesterday with a complication from a facial implant she had put in a year and a half ago. They move around, they hit nerves, they cause infection. Like, I just like do filler. I know it only lasts 6 months or whatever, but the risk is so much. It's still there. Yeah. Fillers are risky, but to me it's less. I don't know. Facial implants are not for me.
And I'm all for plastic surgery. I just won't fuck with my face. There's just something about it. I'm like, I don't want to fuck
with it. You have a pretty good face for someone who hasn't fucked with their face. You don't get tox or anything? You don't get like peels or you don't do... I know.
I'm literally just so old school where like I literally use...
She's like using Dial soap on her face.
Oh my God. Okay. You're going to kill me because...
Like Nivea. Yes, like yes. Nivea cold cream on your face.
I use... It's so basic and you're not wrong.
Please don't tell me St. Ives or something.
No, I do use the Dial soap. It's the fresh one or whatever. I literally in the shower, I take that, wash my face, and then... When I get out of the shower, I put some mist on me and then I do the moisturizer. It's called Original from Ulta. And I just put that moisturizer on and that's it.
You know what I think when people like wash them or their face with like a bar of Dial soap, like when you touch it, it's like, nails on a child. Like that's my, no.
You're going to love this then because I was taught as a kid to be literally squeaky clean. So I washed my hair and everything every day. And I would literally, like when I did the shampoo, once it would squeak, I'm like, golden. Now I'll put the conditioner in. Same thing with my face. I'm like, oh, it's squeaky clean. So like, I just thought that's what you're supposed to do. Gross. Because that's literally what I was taught. And that's I grew up with boys. Like, yes, I had my mom there, but it was still boys.
That means that you were washing your face with a bar of soap that they put in their butthole. I have had this conversation so many times that you're using ball sack and butthole soap on your face. Now think about that. That bar of soap has been in every disgusting, sweaty, gross crevice of those boys. And you're like, I'm just going to put this in your face. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Totally did through my whole growing up. At least I live now. It's just me and my kid and his girlfriend. And I'm the only one that uses the bar of soap. But yes, I am 38 years old. And I use the bar of soap to wash my face. But I am that girl that like, if I don't wear makeup that day, every time I brush my teeth, I wash my face. So like, and then when I take off my makeup, I wash my face. Soap.
Okay.
No. So that's what's funny about, I rinse it just with water and whatever. But...
I'm not going to give you shit and start making you like a skincare regimen because you look fine. But like, there is something to be said about maintenance for your face.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Medical grade skincare, peels, microneedling. I mean, I just look how bad. Look at those wrinkles. It's so bad. I just got injected on Saturday. It still hasn't kicked in, which sucks. It takes up to 2 weeks to kick in. But man.
I've also been told it's because of also how much water I drink. Because like since I was a little kid, like my parents couldn't afford soda. So like they didn't tell me that at first. You know, they just tell the kids like we can only drink water. We have iced tea. My dad loved Lipton tea, so that's what we drink every day was water and tea. So I didn't really have soda until I was like in like 12 or 13. And I still to this day just love water. Like I drink over 100 ounces of water.
Water with nothing in it. It's just water.
Just water.
I don't even understand how people do that.
I love it.
If my water doesn't have a flavor, get it away from me. Gross.
No. I love that I'm on the show with you. Cause like, I love the feeling of the water just going through my teeth. Like it just feels good. Like I just love it. And I eat ice all the time. You know, they've tested me several times, and when I was a kid, I wasn't, but now after surgery, I did have to have two iron infusions, and now I have to take an iron, like, I take 45 milligrams of the bariatric, shout-out to ProCare, so I do take this, that's why it's not full, like, this is the one I use, but I have an alarm on for it, but it's 45 milligrams of iron, and what's funny, I had those infusions when I wasn't taking the iron. I was still taking ProCare in the bariatric multi, but not with iron. And I was like, I feel like an idiot. I could have totally prevented this infusion if I just would have. Right? Yeah, maybe. So yeah, I do love ice. But yeah, I'm that girl that uses Dial Soaper.
And drinks water plain. I'm so jealous. I wish I could drink water plain. Like, I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm not having any more to drink until I find a powder that a rogue powder that might be in my work bag.
Oh boy, I love you. That is amazing. Yeah, I think it's just because, like, there is no option for flavors, you know? So like now when I have a flavored drink, it feels special. I'm like, oh, maybe we should put some vodka in this. I'm like, maybe we should have some tequila. What are we doing? Like, it doesn't feel like a normal drink. I'm just like, oh, we're going to do something special today. I'm going to have like a strawberry daiquiri or something fun. Like,
they have strawberry daiquiri flavored water mixers. I mean, like,
they are good.
That's what I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's what Kel does. When I was with Kel, that's what she would do. Like, she was a big, like, time. Go to the Dollar Tree, grab whatever, use all of Dana's when we get, like, a big supplement that would come through. Like, that was her jam for sure. So if you guys don't like plain water, I know there's a lot of you out there. Don't worry. You can still have your drinks, your, you know, powders or whatever. So this is a funny question. If you, and I promise you it's actually funny. If BBLs could talk, what would they say? It would just be like sighing.
I just hate BBLs so much. I'm like such an anti-butt fat person. If a BBL could talk, it would be like, get me the fuck out of here. I can't breathe. Like, I don't know. Like, all I think about with BBLs is like, now you can't buy pants. Now you can't find pants. Like, no pants fit you. Like, yeah. you have to get the waist taken in on every pants. You have to buy pants like two sizes too big, and either just walk around with a giant waist. Like, I'm not a fan. I do fat grafting, but I'm not doing big BBLs. I'm so lucky. My patients, I have a lot of weight loss patients, so I have a lot of smaller patients. Like, yeah. I'm just dealing with skin. And not a lot of fat. And I'm, you know, my patients like small implants and they don't want like giant butts. It's so wonderful.
Do you do the fat transfer for boobs?
I do. Yes.
And does that work well? Because like I've thought about that, but I don't really know much about
it. It depends what your goal is. It's just going to give you a little bit of fullness, maybe a half a cup to a cup, about a cup size. Okay. If you want more than that, you have to undergo many rounds and it's just more natural, but it does increase your propensity for biopsies, breast biopsies, because the fat can turn into microcalcifications that you could potentially see on mammogram, and they'll always question that. Mm-hmm. And they'll always, so you have a higher risk of biopsy, not a higher risk of cancer, just a higher risk of having a biopsy done.
Of them being like, let's check this one.
Yeah,
out.
Exactly.
Basically.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause when I come to you, I'm just going to manifest it. So when I come to you, that's kind of like, basically all I want is just like a mommy makeover. Like, super simple, whatever.
Super simple.
Super
awesome,
simple, though. You know?
I'm gonna have a breast lift with fat grafting. I've already, like, my mom even called me last night. She's like, you're still doing that at 42 years old, right? I decided I was 42 is my number, which is okay. Soonish. So I'm gonna do breast lift, fat graft, tummy tuck, and probably just like a little bit of lipo here and there, but
for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to do it on myself, but for myself, yes.
No, that would be wild. Let's not. Although, that was a nip tuck for a little bit. Didn't they try to do something weird like that? I feel like they did
That show got weird.
That show got real weird. Like, the last two seasons, that wasn't nip tuck anymore. That was just them having fun being ridiculous.
Moved to L.A. or whatever.
Yeah, when they move, that's basically when it went. Bonkers. For those that don't know, Nip Tuck is an older show on FX and it was fucking amazing.
2004, 2000, like, what is that when it was? I mean, isn't that crazy that this old, that's like 20 years? It's vintage.
It's vintage now. Yeah. I watched that with my mom. Me and my mom love that show.
Dang.
It's such a wild show to watch together, but it was fun and entertaining. So
it's accurate.
And that's what I was thinking. And because I think when we talked on the live expert call, you said that they actually were using the correct terms and what to do and everything like that.
I am impressed going back. I told you I'm going to do like a plastic surgeon watches Nip Tuck and be like, what the fuck are you doing?
Want you to do that so fucking bad. Like, I will tune in every time. Now it makes me want to rewatch Nip Tuck. I'm not going to lie. That's not a bad rewatch. I've never done a rewatch of that as an adult.
I did. I also did a rewatch of Scrubs. Scrubs is a really good show.
That's a fun one.
When it comes to medical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, next question, ma'am. Has anybody brought you celebrity photos and been like, I want to look like that?
They bring sometimes like wish pics of like boobs, and then I have to be like, oh, well, you're 40 and you've had 3 kids, and that's an 18-year-old who like just hit puberty. So you're not going to look like that.
Yeah.
But if they give me, a lot of people will bring their own pictures of themselves when they were breastfeeding and be like, I really liked how my boobs look here. Which is helpful.
That is helpful.
I actually like wish pictures because I can see how realistic you are as a person. If you're showing me a picture and I'm like, no, you're fucking crazy. That's not going to happen. Like, and I'll tell them. Like,
yeah. And that's what I would want. Yeah. I would want someone to tell me, girl, like, yeah, you don't even have the same shape.
Or you show me a picture and I'm like, oh, well, that's definitely doable. And then that gives me a really good idea of what I need to do.
That's awesome. So guys, then bring in pics, but do just be more realistic about it.
Like, or bring in pictures, and if you're not, I'll tell you. I'll straight up be like, no.
And you're like, no, thank you. Yeah, now, there's this thing on Instagram, and I want you to fix this myth or non-myth, if you can. So Instagram lately has been saying if you get lipo done on your abdomen area, then you can actually make abs out of it.
Okay. So there's something called high definition lipo. It was like pioneered basically in Colombia. The person who does it and teaches the classes about it is Dr. Hoyos, and he's amazing and he has wonderful results. But what you're actually doing is you are creating shadows. And so you're taking lipo and you are leaving fat. You're thoughtfully leaving fat in areas and thoughtfully taking fat out in other areas. So it looks like you have abs.
Got it.
It is all about the way light hits things and shadows and gradients of tissue and fat. And you're not really...
So they're not real abs.
You're sculpting over the muscle. So you can kind of feel the muscle and you can feel the striations. So you're just, you happen to be liposuctioning more in those areas so that you can get more of a defined look. But no, like I've seen some where it's so artificial. It looks stuck on. It looks so bad. And then I'm like, okay, if that person gains 30 pounds, it's going to look real fucked up. Like they're just going to have these like dents, you know?
Oh, they would.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think of that. That would really suck. Mm-hmm. And I know you've had this question probably before, but let's just address it real quick. What's going on with our nipples when you do the implant stuff? Like, do you take the nipple off? Are you one of those that does that?
I don't take nipples off, but for a lift, you move the nipple. So the nipple stays on tissue underneath. It stays on what's called a pedicle, which is where the blood supply comes from. And it stays on it, and you essentially are transposing it. So the one that I use is it's called a superior medial pedicle. And the only thing that matters is that I'm taking your nipple. And this is so funny because I have one patient who saw me and was like, did you know you changed mine? And I was like, yes. Yeah. So she had her barbells like this, and I actually turned the nipple up 90 degrees. So now her piercings look like this. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I did. Like, that's how I do the surgery. There are different ways to do it where you can transpose it and it doesn't move, but I do it specifically that way. But I don't take off. I haven't taken off a nipple since my first year of practice, like intentionally.
And I know I was scared of that one. 'Cause like nipple sensitivity is like a whole thing.
still a risk of surgery, even if you leave it on.
Even if you leave it on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just from them removing it. So what's the science behind that? Do you know of why? I'm sure you
do. I'm better, right?
Yep.
There are multiple nerves that go, but like the major nerve is the fourth intercostal, which is like a nerve that comes laterally on your chest above the rib. And it just comes up. You can actually see it when I'm doing a breast dog, because it's right under the pec and it goes right through. And it shouldn't, I mean, everybody's in a different spot. Like mm-hmm. anatomy is different. So I don't know who I might've accidentally cut it. It's hard to see. Nerves are these tiny little wispy things. I can see it under the muscle because it's so much bigger under the muscle, but like, it's really hard to say, who it's gonna,
what's the chance?
I gave you so many percentages today and I don't even know that one.
I thought you would, because you did. I gave you so many. I was like, she knows her shit. I love it.
I have to look that one up. That's a good question. I'll get back to you.
That's fair. Hey, I'll tell the whole community what it is once you tell me. So no worries on that one. And then here's just one thing. And it's really the belly buttons after. So do you judge our belly buttons after skin removal or no? That's kind of a weird question. Why would you judge?
I mean, I am very particular about my belly buttons. Yes. So on my Instagram the other day, I did a whole like thing about like why it matters, because you did all this for you. Maybe you want to brag about the weight loss. Maybe you want to brag about your surgery, or maybe you don't. Maybe you want to like just start anew and have this new body, and maybe you don't want everybody to know. So kind of the telltale sign of a tummy tuck is a belly button, because a lot of times it looks like a butthole, like a cat butthole. We don't want that. Like we don't want a Target sign, like the store, like, you know, we don't like that. So there are ways to kind of make it so that the scar gets kind of sucked in and you can't really see it. Okay. Belly buttons are really, really important. A lot of patients will be like, I'm scared of what my belly button's going to look like. And I'm like, okay, well, here are my belly buttons. Like, this is what my belly buttons look like.
Oh yeah. Like when I talk to my people, it's literally belly buttons and nipples. That's like the biggest. And then some of them are about scars, but most of the time when you get a bariatric patient that I talk to, they don't care about scars. We already have scars from our first surgery. Mm-hmm. Another scar, who cares? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a big deal for us. So, and then one last thing is, how do you deal with drama when someone's partner isn't on board with their surgery? Has that ever happened?
Not necessarily isn't on board. So my thing is, like, I don't really give a shit if your partner doesn't want you to have it or not, because you're not doing it for anybody but you is what I'm hoping. Yeah. Of course, if you're like taking their money and not telling them about it, that's on you. But I appreciate a supportive partner. I have had patients get divorced after surgery because of whatever has happened. I've never been involved in any of the drama. And I'm very, very, very clear with my patients and my patients' significant others that this is a surgery that I'm doing for them. And I am happy to listen to what you have to say, but I really don't have any interest in you making any decisions unless they do. And if they do and they rely on you, that's a red flag for me too. Like the people in my office, the people who I'm seeing, those are the people I'm doing this for. I don't want somebody who's doing it for somebody else. I have, you know, like a man who says, go bigger, like get the fuck out of here. Honestly, like I've turned around and been like, you have no say in this.
Oh, I love that. Cause that is a big deal. Cause I know women are scared sometimes that like they have to do what, you know, cause the man's paying for it or whatever. So they have to do what they want them to do.
No, if they love you, they will support you. I had a patient on Monday who I don't know if he was like she was beautiful, petite. She probably, she didn't need to have surgery, but she did. And I don't think he was like all about it, but he was there and he was so supportive, like, just like, whatever. So glad she's in your hands. And I literally thanked him. I'm like, thank you for being such a supportive partner.
Yeah. And that's what's
needed. That's what you need.
Mm-hmm. Huge, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dr. Ashley, thank you so much for coming on. If you could just leave everybody with one tip going forward, what would that be?
With one tit. All right. One tit going forward. I think that gut feeling that we talked about earlier, that, like, listen to your gut, go with your gut. It's so important that throughout this whole process, maybe throughout life, but just when you're choosing a doctor, when you're choosing a surgery, when you're choosing a size of an implant, when you're choosing, you know, anything, a facility, go with your gut, because if something feels off, it probably is.
Yeah, we all have great intuition. We just have to listen to it. And mm-hmm. that's the biggest deal. So, and I love that tip, because that is super useful for your whole life. That could even be, you take a test and you didn't go with your gut feeling.
Yeah, stop changing your answer. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop changing your answers, people.
I did that so much.
It was
always wrong.
I did so much better on, like, writing when they had to, like, do the explanations because then you don't have to, this multiple choice shit where I'm like, wait, I think this is the right one, but no, but maybe they're messing with me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's so dumb.
Trust your gut.
Always, always. Well, thank you everybody for listening and watching at home. If you like more of this, definitely go and subscribe on YouTube. Hit the little bell. You'll get notifications. You're going to get these every single Tuesday. So make sure you are on the notifications and even on our website, rsleeplightpodcast.com. So that way you can get the newsletters and then you can see what's coming up, when things are happening. And those people in the newsletter actually get, like, bonuses. They get literally discounts and bonus episodes and all the things. So, and Dr. Ashley, tell them where they can find you.
I'm on Instagram at dr.ashleysteinberg, and www.drsteinberg.com. Shoot me a message on Instagram. I actually answer the majority of them. And then I just gave you my secret. If I get every text message that goes to my office, so you know how to find me.
I love that. Yeah, she is foundable. If you say you can't get a hold of her, I call
lies. Lies.
All righty. Well, thank you, everybody. And I will talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Our Sleep Life Podcast. Don't forget to head over to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and follow me on all the socials so you stay connected. And remember, until next time, keep shining bright.